This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What is up, all of my beautiful freaking people? Welcome back to another episode of FML Talk. You guys, we on FML Talk don't always have super famous guests that everybody knows and is a household name because I'm really passionate about the actual content and healing journeys and fun stories and what people have to say. This is not necessarily true for this episode because you are going to get all of those things with a household name. So sit back, grab a cocktail, and welcome to FML Talk.
Oh my God. Wait, how old was the other girl?
19. Can you believe that shit?
Hey, this is Gabrielle Stone.
Good book.
He did what?
48 hours?
What a dick.
Yeah, but have you seen all the photos on our Instagram?
And this is FML Talk.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, my God, you guys, I'm so excited. My inner 90s child is like jumping up and down, kicking and screaming. This fucking interview is so good. There's a little bit of nostalgia for my 90s babies and my early 2000s. There is a entire journey and really like just in-depth conversation about loss and healing and how to move through that grief. And how it feels to come out the other side of it and the beauty of juggling work and motherhood and all the things, because my guest today is none other than the Jennifer Love Hewitt. I have been a fan of her for so many years growing up, from I Know What You Did Last Summer to Party of Five to Heartbreakers to, like, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You could literally spend an entire episode naming this woman's credits. She is a force to be reckoned with on screen, and I can now confirm off screen as well. She has a new book that's coming out that's now available for pre-order. We will list all of that info in the show notes, called Inheriting Magic, that is going to be such a good read. I can't wait for you guys to hear a little bit about it. Stay tuned at the end of this episode because offline, before we were officially recording, we chatted a little bit about the fact that she may or may not have worked with and knows Javier. And it's going to be a little added bonus of BTS at the end of this episode. So without further ado, sit back. The motherfucking queen is here. Jennifer Love Hewitt. I can't believe I just said that. Welcome to FML Talk. How are you, my love?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, are you kidding? Thank you for being here. I mean, I could just like ramble off all of your credits, but let's just blanket it with your iconic. Like, do you?
That's really nice.
Yeah, no, it's very much so true. Like, so many of my listeners have grown up on you. Like, when I told my girlfriend, Alex, I'll give her a little shout out, that you were coming on the show, she was like, I am a fan of no one. Like, I fangirl over no one, but Jennifer Love, like, I used to watch like the Barbie workouts that she did as a child.
Yes.
And I have been following her since then. She's like, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, yeah, she's iconic. You've been in this business for so long.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Alex. You're the best. Thanks for that.
I love it. Oh my God. She's going to pass out. That's great.
Yeah, it's your mom and I actually have talked about that a lot, that it's like really nice to be in the business for a really long time and still say that you're here. I think it's so interesting because we're like such a time in the business where I think everybody's like, oh, I want to be famous. Mm. And you're like, maybe don't be super famous. Like, don't reach that certain level that burns out at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Be the kind of famous that allows you 35 years later or 50 years later or whatever it is that you want to accomplish, because then you get to stick around and it doesn't kind of burn out and go away, which is really nice.
Yeah. You're like, do you want to be famous or do you want to consistently have a job for a really long time?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
get to do what you love.
Yeah. In an industry that's like, yeah, like you get to go to work and play pretend every day.
Yeah.
Okay. Just before we get into like the good meaty stuff, I have to tell you, because I don't even know if I've told my mom this, but when she was shooting a movie in South Africa and we were like flying back and forth, I think I was in like fourth grade at this time. The flight is like unbearably long and I would watch movies on the plane. And when my nanny went to sleep, I discovered the movie Can't Hardly Wait and maybe watched it 8 times back to back. And it was like my first like, oh, there's like sex and like party and drugs in this. And it was my first kind of like more adult movie than I probably should have been watching. And literally 8 or 9 times back to back.
Oh, God, I'm so glad you liked it. I'm so glad I could be there for that moment for you.
Thank you. Yeah. So you like ushered me into my like adult movie phase.
Oh my God, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So besides being an incredible actress who's been working for so long, you're a mom to how many kids do you have?
3.
How are you doing? Because I have 1 and I'm like, this is so much.
It's wild. It is wild. I mean, it's, you know, it's the greatest thing in the entire world. And it's the most exhausting thing in the entire world because there's no like vacation day for a mom or a dad. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just all the time. So it's wonderful. I mean, it's great, but I'm definitely at this point with 3 kids, like I go to work and I'm like, oh, this is so relaxing. This is so nice.
Oh my God.
He's asking me a question every 5 seconds. I love this. And my husband actually laughs at me because I will go to work. Like if I have a 4 a.m. call, I'll get there at 3:30, or if it's 4:30, I'll get there at 4. And he's like, you know, you don't have to get there that early. I'm like, oh, I know. But this is like a half an hour to myself with coffee and affirmations and like, watching the Vampire Diaries if I want to on reruns, like whatever it is, like it's just my God. Me time.
Yeah. So, love that for you.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that like, and of course, you know, being like an actress, we have the privilege to be like, oh yes, I get to go be on set for 12 hours. But like the fact that being on your feet for 12 hours and, you know, especially in TV when it's like go, 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 it's not easy work. The fact that that's a vacation, you're like, I can't wait. It's amazing.
Like I just count my steps during the day with my little watch, you know, and in one day I can do between 22 and 25,000 steps in my house with like laundry, chasing my 2.5-year-old, going to the park, doing the errands, going to the grocery store, you know, all the things. When I'm at work, it's like 10 to 15,000 steps.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, how does that make any sense? Right. Like it should be at work. There's all the steps and at home, but no, at home, it's just like constantly going. But I do love it. I mean, it's the greatest thing in the entire world. I waited a long time to do it. I really wanted to do it. And it's turned out to be even better than I could have imagined.
So. Yeah. Did you have fear going into motherhood being like, oh, is this going to hinder or affect my business and work life too much?
I didn't worry about that so much, but I did have a lot of questions around like, what on earth did being an actress for my whole life, like how did that prepare me for motherhood?
Oh, interesting.
Right? Like I was more like, I'm not going to know how to do this, right? I didn't go, and I worry about it still, like thinking about my kids going to high school. I didn't go to high school. Like I was on a set with like one teacher. I never went to a high school party. I didn't have like a boy break up with me and then have to like continue my classes for the day, or, you know, go and like have girls be mean to me at a party and like cry in the bathroom. Like I didn't have the Can't Hardly Wait is literally the only high school party I've ever been to.
Stop.
Right. So it's like, and that was awesome, by the way. So it was really good. But so I worried more about that stuff. And I think when my daughter was kind of like, it was sheer panic. And I write about this a little bit in my book that I was like, I don't know. You know, you hear about all the types of moms, which I hate. Like, we shouldn't put moms in like types of moms. We just shouldn't do that to each other. But you hear about it. And I was like, who am I? Like, what mom title am I going to have? I'm an entertainer. Like, how does that help me? And then when my daughter was born, I was like, oh, wait, like late night shoots? Like, I know how to stay up all night.
I love it.
Like,
yeah.
It's different, but like, I know how to do that. I know how to function on 4 hours sleep. I know how to, you know, now like with three kids and like the schedules and all this stuff, it's a lot like directing a TV show where like you gotta, you know, you have to AD like your entire life and make sure that like everything's gonna fit in the schedule. And sometimes the actors are temperamental and, you know, like whatever it is. So I've just kind of turned what I know into kind of like being successful as a mom.
Yeah.
But I definitely came into being a mom with a lot of fear. And I still have, you know, it's weird. It's like I said, to think about as they get older, like my husband's just going to have to take a lot because he got like a normal upbringing and I didn't.
Right. Right.
So it's weird for me.
Summer is here and life is not slowing down for us anytime soon. One of the things we have continuously relied on making our lives so much easier is Factor meals. No prep, no mess, no cleanup meals. I have really been off the wagon with my eating since having my son, and for my health, my wellness, and my mental sanity, I have been switching my dinners to more healthy options from Factor. They have 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. And Tay is continuously shocked every time he sits down to eat one because they are so freaking tasty. They have breakfast, lunches, dinners, and desserts. It's a treat to have restaurant quality food that is so easy to prepare and doesn't come with the insane Postmates bill. Head to factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 and use code FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code FMLTalk50 at factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Enjoy, FMLers. That's such a good analogy. I joke all the time with my first marriage, like the wedding that we had, like I produced the shit out of that wedding. We just cast the male lead completely wrong. Yeah. But like, it's so accurate. And like doing the schedules now, I have an 11-year-old stepdaughter and my son. So it's like all of the soccer games and the this and the, it's wild, like scheduling. And it is exactly like putting the puzzle pieces together on a film set, like trying to figure out what the hell we're doing. That's such a great analogy. I love it.
It's just as moms, we're the casting director, we're the producer, we're the director, and then the kids are the leads. And like, that's how you have to do it. It's wild.
I love it. Okay. So let's get into a little bit about your book. Like what prompted you in this moment of your life to be like, it's time for me to write this?
My mom passed, it'll be 12 years in June, and it was very unexpected. Just because she had been sick, but she was like coming out of it. So it was unexpected in that it just wasn't in the cards at that moment, or so I didn't think. And it just rocked my universe. My mom and I were best friends. I mean, we did the business together for all the years that we did it. She lived across the street from me. We had breakfast most mornings together. We had dinner at night. She was my life, like really. So when I lost her, it was like, whoa, like, what do I do? And I think I just needed a really long time to process like how to even talk about her or how to, you know, kind of function. And then I very quickly became a mom. So she passed in June, and the following April I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. And I was in love and, you know, gonna like be with the guy that I wanted to be with, and we were gonna have a baby. And so I was like in grief and hormonal changes, like being pregnant. And then I was postpartum and still very much in grief. And that was a lot. And then I was like trying to go back to work as an actress. So I just kind of needed the time to sort of do it. But when I started realizing like kind of coming out of sort of the big fog of grief, I was like, oh, there's a really interesting thing that's happened for me. Like I've really gotten out of sort of the greatest sadness, like the most magical life that I could have ever dreamt of. And I really feel like she's brought pieces of that to me. And then in my kids asking about her all the time and trying to very much like kind of keep her alive in our lives, I was like, maybe this would be helpful to other people. Like maybe this thing. So I kind of sat down and I was like, what was that moment for me? And my mom was a lot like your mom in that way. She was a magical person. Like, she believed in the universe and like magic and, you know, kind of creating just good memories. And she was always there for me. And so I like try to give that to my children. And when she passed, I remember the first thought that I had was like, oh my God, all the magic I've ever known in my life is gone. I'll never know anything again. And it crushed me. And then after my daughter was born and I was like, no, you got to get yourself, like, you're married, you have kids, like, you got to kind of get yourself out of this. I found comfort in creating magic for my kids and my family in like planning little fun gatherings and parties and just fun dinners for us and, you know, kind of making magical decorations like all year long in our house. And then I realized that I had inherited magic from her. And so that's kind of where the book title came from, Inheriting Magic. And through doing these things for my family and like taking the things that she taught me, she's more with me than I could have ever imagined. Mm-hmm. And so I felt healed enough to sit down and write about it. This is a very long answer. You're like, stop talking.
No, please. I love it. It's
like,
great.
I felt like healed enough to actually write about it, but I also felt like writing it now would kind of push me into that next level of healing. Mm-hmm. And it did. It was really hard to write the first part of the book, but I like cried and sobbed and sat in it. And yeah, I just feel closer to her than ever now, which is really nice.
I can't imagine like the timing of all of that that you went through. Like, I've always morbidly joked because I've dealt with so much grief in my life. Like, when my mom does go, like, I have to be happily married with a kid, which I am now, because like, I always said, I don't know if I'll make it through that. Cause since my dad passed when I was young, like, she's been my one constant for life. Like, all of the shit I've gone through, like, she's always been the one kind of like lighthouse in my life. So I so cannot imagine like losing a mom and then going on that journey of becoming a mom, which of course you like want your person to be there to like walk you through that and like all the questions that come up and like what you touched on, like the grief with the joy that was happening simultaneously is like really a lot and confusing.
Yeah, it was very complicated because so my mother-in-law is amazing. I mean, I always call her Saint Margot. Like, she's an amazing woman. And my husband was, I mean, we essentially like were dating and kind of fell in love in my grief, which was so weird because I was so not myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he was beautiful in like giving space and being there. And I mean, he helped me pack up my mother's entire house. And that's how he got to know her. He had only met her once before she passed. And he really got to know her by kind of like putting her things in boxes and, you know, deciding what we were going to keep and not keep, which is such a complicated, weird thing. But when we had our daughter, I remember this very distinct feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that Brian's mom gets to be here with him. Mm-hmm. And I am so angry that my mom is not here. It was so weird. And I just like, even in birth with my daughter, I just remember feeling like, I just want to do this by myself because that's what I have to do. And I did not feel my mom in that labor. I did not feel her with me like at all. My brother was wonderful and like sent me messages and was there. And, you know, I had supportive friends and all of that stuff, but it just was not, it was not the same. It was not what I needed or wanted in that time. And then after bringing my daughter home, it was like, people would come and visit and family members would want to see her. And I was like, this is great, but my mom's never going to walk through my front door. She's never going to meet my daughter. She's never going to see how beautiful she is. She's never going to know how proud she should be of how I got through it and did it. And it really complicated, I think, postpartum for me. And so people were like, oh, did you get postpartum with Autumn? And I was like, no, I think I had post grief. Like, like a really weird combination of the two. And so, yeah, it was complicated. But I mean, having babies is, you know, a blessing. And my daughter was magical. And I really think that she was medicine for me in those early days. And I think that's why it was hard for me to go back to work a lot. Like, people questioned that, like, why doesn't she just want to go right back to work? And I was like, I'm healing.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know how to do that right now. So I just needed a minute and, you know, it was fine. And then when my son was born, I had grief again. And then what was beautiful about my third is I was so far past it at that point that that was the birth I felt her in the most, because I think I was ready to like be open to that. And so I didn't have that grief after he was born. It was just kind of like, oh, here we are, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, they were, it was interesting for sure.
Oh, okay. First of all, I love that people are like, why isn't she ready to go back to work? Like as if having a baby isn't enough to like want to just chill and take some time in motherhood. It's like, I've just gone through two big life altering, you know, events. One was a trauma. Like, give me a beat.
Yeah.
I wonder now that you're a little bit more removed from the grief and on your healing journey, do you look back now? Cause you were like, she's never going to be able to meet her and see how proud she should be and like all the things. Do you feel differently about that now? Like, do you know that she's been able to see and experience that in a different way?
I do. And I really feel like, I mean, it's, you know, I've had two boys since having my girl. There is no doubt in my mind that that girl first came to me from my mom to show me all the things she had always explained to me. She was like, one day you're going to have a little girl and you're going to understand why I've loved so hard or why I've done this or why I've done that. And I was always like, okay, you know, as we do. So yeah, no, I definitely feel differently about it now, but I think it was such a raw, you know, thing. And I was a person really before my mom passed, I really had a hard time with change. I was not a change person. I wanted everything to be like, even from the time that I was a kid, I needed all my stuffed animals. I needed all my family. I needed all my stuff. And I wanted everybody to just surround and nobody to change anything, you know? And I think in her passing, I really learned that sometimes change can be profound and it can be good for us and it can push you into, you know, places in your life that maybe you're afraid of. And yeah. So I really learned a lot from her passing. That was beautiful. It just took me a minute to get there. But I know she was there and I know she was watching and I know that my daughter is from her and my daughter is so much like her. It's wild. She says things and does things. And I'm like, what? That is my mom.
I love that. I always, I was like, so sure I was going to have a girl. Like I've had mediums tell me, like, I was like, we don't even need to get a test, like gender reveal, what? Like it's a girl. My mom was like, yeah, we know, like 100% it's a girl. And when we did the gender cupcake and it was blue, mine and my mom's face were like the shock of the century. And then immediately after, because we did it at our wedding, I was like 2 or 3 months pregnant when we like actually had our wedding. A couple minutes after, the man who is my son's godfather came up to me and he's like, you're really surprised? You really think that your dad was gonna not send you a boy? Like, what? And I was like, yeah. Okay. That tracks. Like, I guess that makes sense. And it's been so healing for all of the, you know, trauma that I've experienced with men specifically, like my dad passing. I lost my high school sweetheart when I was 18 and just like the heartbreaks that I've endured to now have this little baby boy. It like almost has redefined how like the lens that I look at other men that have affected my life. And I'm like, oh, maybe they didn't have like that mom that protected them so fiercely or like someone to like teach them or keep them safe. And it like gives you this like beautiful forgiveness in the vulnerability of how little they once were. And you forget that when you're dealing with them on a adult basis.
That's beautiful that you got that. That's so, it's really amazing what happens and what we're sent. And I really do believe we are sent the parts of us that either need to remember or the parts of us that are broken and need to heal. And we're sent that in our children to look deeper at it and to grow from it and to feel better inside. It's really special that way. I'm glad that you got that. And I'm sorry for all of your loss.
Oh, thank you. I know. I feel like it, as much as we know, like it's part of life and it makes us who we are and it allows us to grow and heal and redefine ourselves in different ways. It never makes it easy, but it shapes us into, I mean, I feel for me personally, it's shaped me into the woman that I am today and why I can show up as like the mother that I am and the businesswoman that I am because I've gone through all that stuff. And I'm sure you feel much of the same in that respect.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
So take me through like what really the book like covers. It's obviously your journey through losing your mom and like having the kids, but what can people kind of expect to get from it? Is it a traditional memoir? Is it more like you just wanted to kind of let a specific part of your life out?
So I wanted to kind of tell the story of my mom because I just really haven't. It's been very private for me, that part of it. And because I've been such a public person my whole life, it felt weird to like not say anything about it, you know? And again, in sort of realizing that I inherited magic, it kind of like spun me into this new version of myself. And so I'm like in the process and sort of recently have started this brand called Holiday Junkie. And it's sort of my love of all the holidays, but specifically like just creating moments with your, for yourself, for your friends, for your kids, for your marriage, for just everything in life, just like trying to infuse it with a little bit more magic and trying to just give it a little bit more thought so that when your children look back and when the people in your life look back, it feels special. Like that time with you feels, you know, extra maybe, but like, but special.
Yeah.
So the book kind of goes from my mom passing to sort of me having my family, my kids, sort of learning how to like create magic for us. And then it kind of goes into what I call everyday magic and sort of like stuff that we do in our families, that we do these dinners around the world just to basically get our kids to like eat other food than like bacon and french fries right. and chicken fingers, where we will, you know, dress up and make the table feel like it's Paris. And so they get to have like steak frites or, you know, we'll do boba and dumplings or, you know, whatever it is. We'll travel to England and have fish and chips and, you know, whatever, just to kind of like get them to do fun things. But again, it feels like magical. I did a glow in the dark dinner for my kids where it was literally just pizza, like on plates, but I did our whole room in our house and all glow in the dark stuff.
Oh my God.
And
we got to have the glow in the dark
bath afterwards, like the glow sticks in it and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then the birthday parties for my kids, you know, such a big thing. And I live in LA where it's like a giant thing. And I was like, how do I not spend $1 million every birthday party? I'm like literally have no savings for anyone in our family,
yeah.
But like try to feel like I'm competing with these moms out there who do these extraordinary things, you know? So I was like, I kind of have to make it my own. And so, yeah, in that everyday magic section, it's like kind of how we infuse everyday magic into sort of our lives, but also how like I learned kind of in doing the birthday parties, how to sort of do that stuff. And then the final part of the book is the Holiday Junkie section. It's really just about how complicated Christmas can be when you miss someone or you miss a lot of people, and kind of being sensitive to people sort of feeling that sadness and that joy at the same time, and just like creating our own traditions and making things special, but also infusing them with stuff from my family and things that, you know, my mom maybe did for me. And so that's kind of the book. It's sort of like I tell people a little bit about me and kind of how I've found myself in this way, how I sort of learned to use my mom's magic, and now how I've kind of taken it and made it my own.
Oh my God, I love that.
It's a memoir-ish, I would
yeah.
say.
Oh my God, yeah. That's so beautiful. And I think it's going to really resonate and connect with people who have not only lost their mom, but lost any prominent figure in their life, because
yeah,
there's so many times like at Thanksgiving or any like major holiday when you see those little memes get posted around that are like, I'm sending love to anyone who like doesn't have the family around or does miss someone. And that's yeah. so very real. It really is this weird mix of like joy and grief. And I have to put on a face and show up for my kids and all of the different yeah. complicated emotions that happen all in one. And I totally see why you and my mom clicked, because like she literally the other day texted me and was like, 285 days until Christmas. And I was like, you're oh actually gosh, insane.
I sent that text to my friends. I was like, guys, I'm so excited. Somebody sent me a thing saying it's like 12 Fridays to Halloween. And I literally was like vibrating. I was like, oh, pumpkins, it's coming. I'm so excited.
Wait, that's also so terrifying to hear. Like, how has the year gone by that fast? What do you mean 12 Fridays until Halloween? I have to slow down.
No, truly. Now I think it's less because I think that was like a couple weeks ago. God. But yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I love it. And like the holiday stuff really just, it just like, it expands my heart. And my kids, I mean, my son, Aiden, the baby, because he was born in August, that's really like fall for me. Like I'm into fall and magic fall time, like way before Starbucks. Like Starbucks is late on the pumpkin latte of it all, in my opinion. So I'm like already into that. And from the day he was like, he came home from the hospital and there were already like pumpkins and oh my gourd placement, you know, all the things like out. And his favorite song to fall asleep to is It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas from My Pretty Little Lie, because every time he would like go to sleep or wake up in the time the year he was born, there was always something holiday. And he would literally joke and he would like take a nap and he would wake up and it would be a new holiday in our house. Like some new decoration had been added. And my kids love it. And like my daughter had a little like sleepover the other day and she made a charcuterie board and like had the theme for the party, like her little summer party thing. And she decorated shit. And I was like, I'm so proud. Like I've done so good.
Oh,
yes. Yes. They have magic in them. And my son, Aiden, walks around with a wand all the time. And he's like, mommy's magic, mommy's magic. And he loves it. And it's just, it's great. And it fills my heart. And it's like the magic that I create from them now really is my own. Like it's different from what my mom used to do for me, but it's so inspired by her.
Yeah.
That it's great.
Oh my God. I love that so much. That gave me chills. What made you decide to have them on the cover? I mean, it's obviously not a real traditional photo, but it's a beautiful image. I love the whole aspect of it. And what inspired you to want to do that?
So they're all throughout the book. You'll see them at their birthday parties. You'll see them at Christmas as babies, as getting older. And we've been really careful about our kids. I mean, I truly think this is the first time anybody's seen their face other than like a random paparazzi shot of us at the farmer's market, which you're like,
right.
Why? So it was really daunting for me. And even more than like releasing the book, I think the thing that I was most nervous about is people seeing our kids. And my kids are beautiful. I love them. And like, it wasn't about them. It was just about kind of opening up people's opinions about that. You know, God forbid some like hater out there saying something about anything. But I couldn't, like the book is so who I am and so much about my family that my husband and I were like, we can't like put bars over their face. Like we can't not show them. They are the magic. And the book is really for them. It's for them to see, like, it's the first time that they've heard that I was sad about losing my mom. Right. And when I wrote about, you know, I've read them everything that's in the book as I wrote it. And it was the first time they knew how my mom passed away and like, you know, how I missed her and that it was difficult for me when I had them, but like they were my medicine. And so it just was so important to me that if I was going to tell the whole story, they had to be seen and they had to be in it because they are the story. And I want them to take the book proudly and know that it's who our family is. And we're proud of that. And they're really excited about it. My daughter was like, guys, I'm on the gram. I'm officially on the gram.
Oh my God. I'm
and I was
dead.
Like, you cannot have the gram. You cannot have the gram, but you are on the gram.
Oh my God.
So I was really excited. My daughter was like, is there a red carpet that I'm going to walk for something? Because I feel like people are going to want to see me. And I'm like, no, calm down. Go to school.
Oh my God. I'm dead.
And my middle son is like, I'm going to baseball. I could care less about this book and this whole whatever this is. And the baby, of course, has no idea what's going on. But my daughter was very into it. She was so excited.
Oh my God. And how old is your daughter?
She's 10.
Oh my God.
She's at that age.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So she liked him and was telling everybody. So it was cute, but they haven't like, they're not like soaked up in it. They're not, you know, taking it for more than what it is, which is good so far, but it's been fun for them. And yeah, it's made them feel, which I wasn't expecting really, but my daughter was like, I feel important to you. It was like, you are important to me. I was like, you're not important to me because you're on the book. You're important to me because you're my kid, you know? And she was like, I know. She said, but it feels important to be shared in Mimi's story, which is what they would have called my mom. And so it makes me happy.
That's really awesome. Yeah. That's the, made the gram. I cannot.
I made the gram.
Oh my God. It's really funny because my stepdaughter is written about in my second book and I changed her name. And, but when we were traveling, I had this one FMLer that recognized us and came up to me and, you know, introduced herself and was very sweet. And she was like, oh my God, is that Blue? And that's her name in the book. And she was just like, oh my God, I'm famous. Like, it was like this, you saw it happen. And she was like, wait, people know me? And I was like, oh, here we go. Down a rabbit hole. I was like, also, you cannot read either of these books until you're over 18. So just like pump the brakes, child.
It's cute though when they have that moment. That was exactly how my daughter, she was like, she thought, oh, well, people are going to be I was like, nobody's talked about any of us. They just looked at the cover and they liked it. And that's it.
Yeah.
But it's so cute. I love that. I love that.
Do you have any feelings around, like, if any of your kids would ever want to go into the industry? Are you one of the people that's like, we're not going to do that? Or are you more like, you know, whatever your passion is, like, we'll do it when the time is right?
It's interesting. I just had this conversation with my son Atticus yesterday because he was like, he said, are you going to be mad at me if I don't want to be an actor? And I was
an interesting question.
Yeah. I was like, no. And I was like, where is that coming from? And he said, well, you know, now that we're on the book cover, he was like, people might think that I want to like follow in your footsteps. And I was like, footsteps. I was like, no, I was like, I want you to be happy. And I was like, I want you to do whatever it is you want to do. And he's like, great, because I don't want to do anything like that. And I was like, okay, awesome. And he said, but daddy does it and you do it. So I just didn't want you to get mad. And I was like, not mad. Find your joy. Do whatever you want. And my daughter piped in and she's like, well, I'm going to do it. And I was like, okay. And she said, no, but for real. She was like, I really want to be an actress. I really want to do this. I really want to give it a try. And I was like, okay. I said, I think that's great. We can do that. I said, when are you thinking? And she was like, well, now, you know, I'd love to be like on a Disney show or something. And I was like, well, okay.
You're like, let me just pick up the phone for you, child.
Yeah. I'm like, first time I'm hearing about this. And I was like, well, you know, a lot goes into it. I said, there's a lot that you would have to give up to do it. And, you know, you'd have to really think about that. I was like, but if it's something that you really want to do, you know, we can talk about it. I said, let's maybe give it a year and see how we feel. And I was like, if in a year's time, it's something that you still want to do, maybe we'll start with like voiceover stuff. Or if I do a project, she was on an episode of 911. Mm-hmm. She was in one scene. My husband guested on the show.
Oh, fun.
I was in the scene. She played our daughter like in a dream sequence. And
oh my God, so cute.
Yeah. All she had to do was say hi. And she's like, but she loved it and she had fun. And I was like, you can do little things like that. Like you could pop in and kind of whatever. I was like, but before you make it a career, let's just take a beat.
Yeah. Smart.
So, you know, for me, when I was a kid, I was the driving force. Like my mom was a school teacher. She was a totally normal woman who knew nothing about the industry. And I was like, this is what I want to do. We're doing it. Can we give it a try? And so I was like, let's go. And she beautifully and, you know, graciously like changed her whole existence to kind of try to fit that in. And it worked out for us, which thank God. So it was okay. If my kids were like that with me, then I think I'd have to go with it. And I would know how to do it. Like I've been a kid actor, so I could definitely, you know, guide one of them and kind of do that. But I think for now, I would like them to hold off on it just a little bit.
I think that's a really, the whole give it a year. And if it's still like a passion that's burning, then we'll cross that bridge. That's a really smart way of looking at it.
Yeah. Cause I think, you know, if she's going to be 11 in November and she's going to be heading towards being a teenager and that's a hard time. And I just don't know that she's going to still feel that way, but if she does, call up the Disney Channel and see what's happening.
She's like, I just like to star in a Disney show. No bigs, like whatever.
It's like, I'm on the gram. Can I be in a Disney show? Like, hello.
Oh my God. I love it. Okay. So if you can tell people that are listening from writing this book that are in the middle of their grief journey, and I feel really grief is like such a broad scale. It's not only from losing someone. It can be from a heartbreak or a loss of any kind, like a person or a dream, like any type of grief comes in so many different shapes and forms. What is one thing you can give them that shows a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel that you might touch on in your book?
I think that when we are in the middle of any kind of deep pain, it's hard to imagine a time where like that hole closes, or that like ache that you feel when you wake up and like it's just effort to like take a deep breath in the morning. We feel like that's just never going to go away. Like you feel like that couldn't possibly turn into joy or magic or like profound healing of any kind. And I truly got like, I mean, the rug just like swept out from underneath me. And I really didn't, when my mom passed, know if I would be okay. Like I truly didn't. And I kind of sitting in grief and allowing it to sort of wash over me in all the ways that it did, I live an extraordinary life. Like I have such a deep sense of gratitude now. I feel such a deep joy. When I cry about her, I cry about her deeply, but I now able to just cry from like how fucking lucky I was that that was my mom. Mm. Like how cool is it that that woman was my mom? And I am so thankful for my grief. Like I really am thankful for it. It changed me in ways that I would have never been changed had I not had it. And so I would just say to people with like any kind of pain, it's an odd gift, but it's a gift. And it really is like a portal to the next thing that you can be and the next like extreme amount of joy that you can find and pride in yourself. I'm so proud of myself for coming through it and like being able to fall in love with my husband and get married and have kids and like write about her and talk about her, you know, in this way without breaking down, you know, into tears, which I honestly didn't know if I'd be able to do. And yeah, it's just, I hope the book, and I hope what I wanted to do in writing it was to give people hope and to say that it's messy and it's awful, but it is, there's so much good. There's so much good. And that the people that leave us, they don't really leave us.
Yeah.
They just go behind a curtain we can't see, but they don't leave us.
Oh my God.
And then what they leave with us is profound.
Monumental. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. What a great fucking answer. I'm so glad I asked you that question. That was really beautifully said.
Oh, thanks.
I can't wait for people to read this book. It's available for pre-order right now. You can go to Jennifer's.
I have a link in bio,
which is at Jennifer Love Hewitt on the gram.
On the gram. Check me out on the gram. The link is in my bio. I had to buy the way, ask five people how to make a link in my bio. I was like, guys, how do you make a link in your bio?
I'm dead. Don't worry. My mom doesn't even run her Instagram. She's like, Gabrielle, can you post this for me? I'm like I'm not doing 50 other million things. Okay, mom. So I'm right there with you. Okay. For my listeners that are in my age demographic, my 90s babies, they would kill me if I didn't do some form of like little rapid fire with you.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll end on that fun little note. Okay. Favorite 90s movie that you did, or one of, or early 2000s?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay, great. Number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say that was number
one. Favorite co-star you've ever had?
I mean, right now, Kenny Choi.
Oh,
yeah.
Love that.
He's the best.
And most challenging role that you've ever played in your career?
I mean, I would say maybe Maddie, the character that I play now. She's been through a lot. She's had postpartum. She was pregnant during COVID. She came into the show in like a 10-year, very abusive physically and emotionally relationship. She's had a difficult relationship with her parents on the show. So I would say she's been, it's also been difficult because I'm aging on camera, which is weird. I'm working a lot while being a mom and feeling like that kind of pull.
Yeah.
So I would say that, it's been challenging, but it's also been great.
I love that. Okay. And in closing, can you give me a little fun memory or story from Heartbreakers?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So my very first day of work, having to bend over and show my butt cheeks in front of Ray Liotta. He was the most wonderful, kind, appropriate, let me just say, lovely man, which is very important because we hear other stories. So yes, he was just the greatest and I loved him. But my mother and my grandmother, who was in town visiting, decided to go with me. Sat that day for this big thing. So all I hear is my grandmother going, is she gonna bend over further than that? Like at the monitor. And my mom going, another butt shot? Like another butt shot.
God. It was hilarious.
So that was my first heartbreaker. So, and then the second one was that I was 22, 23 when we did the movie. And I had to wear very small clothing and my character was supposed to be very sexy. And I was like a nerd. Like I had no idea what to do. And so our director was like, I need you to like kick the door down, walk in, put this olive in your mouth, like seductively. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know how to do this. So for the entire Heartbreakers movie, everything that I had to do that was sexy, the male director would have to do first.
Stop.
To show me how to be seductive. I was like, oh, and he's like, no, too much shoulders. Stop it. That's not sexy at all. He's like, stop doing this. I wish that there were like deep behind the scenes footage of the Heartbreakers movie. So you could see, first of all, this grown man trying to teach me how to be sexy. Right. And then second of all, the takes before I figured it out were terrible. I mean, I would not have seduced a fly, let alone.
My God.
It was okay. Used to laugh at me.
First of all, I'm so thankful I just asked that question. Yeah. Secondly, for what it's worth, that film, I can't even remember how old was when I first saw it, was one of my favorites. And I 100% was like, that's who I want to be. I am going to go into this world seducing men like Jennifer Love Hewitt. So it worked. Well, you got it.
Well, just so you know, I had no clue what I was doing.
Oh my God, I love it. That's so brilliant. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here and like being vulnerable and sharing all of this goodness with us. I can't wait for people to read your book. This has been such an absolute joy and sending you all the love and all the good things.
You are the best. Congratulations on everything. Keep being a great mom. I hear what a great mom you are from your mom.
Yeah,
hold on to your mommy tight.
I will. Thank you. I want to thank Jennifer so much for taking the time to come on FML Talk. What a freaking light she is in this world. A mom of three, killing it as a TV star right now. Like all of the things, like it's very inspiring. She is wonderful and like creating all the magic. Like the inspo that I got from this episode on how to create those little magical moments for our loved ones and for ourselves really is just the biggest takeaway from this episode for me. I'm so thankful that she decided to come on and share her journey with us. Please go pre-order her book. The link is in the show notes. It's called Inheriting Magic. I cannot wait to get my hands on it and give it a read. Okay, I promised you guys a little bit of tea at the end of this episode. We obviously had to go through and edit when I actually like reveal who this is, because she was like, you can't not tell me. So here's a little TBTS of her putting together the pieces of who one of the men in Eat, Pray, FML is. So the book that I wrote is based kind of like on my life and such. And like my whole audience is like very invested in it. And the ex that broke my heart before this like grand Europe trip that I ended up taking that like a lot of the book revolves around, you actually know quite well from a show that you guys did together.
Dumb.
Yeah. So when my mom was like, oh, I'm working with Jennifer Love, I was like, ah. Yeah.
Who is it?
It's
Stop it. Stop it.
And what's so crazy is that in the book, we like randomly had this like two-night go out dancing, like casual thing. And then I met my husband, got married, got divorced, had all of that happen. And then he like re-came into my life. But when he originally, when we like had dated casually, was when he was like working with you. And I just remember being like, oh my God. When my mom told me, I was like, oh my God, it's so full circle. It's ridiculous.
My God, yeah. That is wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, you guys, I love you so very much. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please give Jennifer a follow on the gram and go place a pre-order copy for her book. I love you. I will see you next week. Cheers. All right, FMLers, if you don't want to miss an episode, make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app. And if you're loving the show, drop us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You can keep up with me on Instagram at Gabrielle Stone or the podcast page at FML Talk Podcast. For all the merch and books signed personally by me, you can shop the FML line on eatpreyfml.com. And as always, have a fucking self-love cocktail on me. Cheers.
Welcome to As a Woman, Fertility Hormones and Beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Natalie Crawford, and I am a fertility physician and co-founder of Fora Fertility in Austin, Texas. We will talk about a wide range of topics, including the menstrual cycle, your hormones, infertility, IVF, mental health, and, well, beyond. So join us and become part of the community of collaboration that amplifies others as a woman.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.